Welcome back to the Pick and Slip, where we pick our favorite NBA topic
and
slip them into your life. Follow us on Twitter at Pick and Slip Show.
Boom, boom.
And listen to all of our episodes on Spotify. Just look up Pick and Slip.
Search it up.
Slip, I'm Gavin Miller here with
Braden Pittman.
We're here on this wonderful Thursday afternoon to talk about more NBA basketball, per usual. Miss what we do on here.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I'd say what? We do that 90% of the time?
Yeah.
Maybe even 90%. Higher than that. Yeah, I don't think we've had a single show that isn't basketball, actually.
Yeah.
We're
That's kind of what we're known for.
You could
for.
Call this a basketball show at this point.
You could. But, yeah, so real quick, the first thing I think, personally, I want to talk about and we're going to dive into is we're nearing growing towards the end of the NBA season.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of, you know, seeing how we already had a few teams clinch. I mean, the Nets have clinched, the Jazz and the Suns have both clinched, like secured their spots.
We also have teams that are guaranteed missing, which is, I think that's more fun to look at, like personally.
The Rockets, obviously.
Yeah, Rockets are out.
Are making it.
Here, let me check. Yeah, the Rockets and the Timberwolves are the first two teams to officially have been eliminated.
Yeah. So, I think if you want to go over either the Eastern or Western Conference, and I'll go over the one that you don't do.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and just do the West since I have it open right now. At the one seed, the Utah Jazz. At the two seed, the Phoenix Suns. Two teams that I did not expect to be the one and two seed at the beginning of the season. And then LA Clippers at the three seed, Denver Nuggets at the four seed, Lakers at the five seed. That would be an incredible 4-5 matchup. Dallas at the 6th seed, Portland at the 7th seed, Memphis at the 8th seed, San Antonio Spurs at the 9th seed, Golden State Warriors at the 10th seed. That is Portland and Golden State will be matched up in the play-in tournament, and then Memphis and San Antonio, as long as the standings don't move, which Golden State's only half a game behind Memphis. So they could also just be the 8th seed. But the Pelicans are the 11th seed, Kings are the 12th seed, Thunder are the 13th seed, Timberwolves are the 14th seed, and in last place in the Western Conference, and I think in the whole league, are the Houston Rockets.
Yeah. So, Western Conference looks very competitive between all teams. I feel like this is the most competitive that the Western Conference has looked in quite a while.
Yeah, the East has been. We have actually like a good amount of teams that are over 500 in the playoffs, which doesn't happen too often.
The East still looks pretty weak, per usual. But
it's looking better, you know. I mean
it looks okay.
It's
I feel like if it's still
the West, the 1 through 6 seed, I think could all win a championship.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like if you look at the East compared to the West, which is this is how it's been for a while now. Like it just doesn't.
And like there's a lot of different ways that you can interpret that, but then also in the player empowerment era right now, when you have the option to go live in Los Angeles or like Denver's beautiful or Portland or San Francisco, why would you move to Milwaukee? You know, I think that's one of the big things is like you look at the cities in the East and they're not like bad cities at all, but it's New York, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Atlanta. These are all like more big city type cities, like skyscraper type cities, whereas you're getting more vacation-y spots, I feel like, in the West. And that's where I feel like a lot of players are going to want to move more often.
Yeah. But
New Orleans is super nice.
Yeah. But real fast, I'll go ahead and go over the Eastern Conference real quick for you guys. So starting at the first seed.
Who wants to move to Cleveland?
Starting at the first seed is the Brooklyn Nets. And at the second seed, you have the 76ers. Third seed, the Bucks. And a little fun fact, all three of those teams, the first three seeds, top three seeds in the Eastern Conference. And their last 10 are all 6-4.
Oh. Yeah. That's not that great for being the 1 through 3 seed.
They're all 6-4.
And then you look at the Knicks, who are 9-1.
Yeah. Knicks just got their 9-game win streak snapped.
Atlanta's 6-4 in their last 10. So, Boston's 6-4 in their last 10.
Yeah. But yeah, the Knicks are 9-1 in their last 10. They are sitting at the 4th seed. Hawks at the 5th seed. You have the Celtics at the 6th seed. Then the Heat and Hornets. Heat at 7th, Hornets at 8th, followed by the Indianapolis Pacers, who are sitting at the 9th seed, who are 5-5 in their last 10. The Wizards hold that 10th spot, the Bulls at the 11th, then Raptors at 12th, Cavs at 13th, Magic in 14th, and then last is the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, a lot of those teams have been going through it, you know? I mean, Pacers have been going through it. Charlotte, without LaMelo, has been going through it. He's actually going to be back before the end of the season, surprisingly.
Is that?
Chicago has been rough. 4-6 in their last 10, even after the Vucevic trade. They're not in the play-in tournament. Cleveland had that funny Kevin Love moment where he just kind of dropped the ball on the court. Yeah, the Eastern Conference, I feel like a lot of the Western Conference teams, you can at least see the upside. Like Pelicans, they have Zion, you know?
Yeah.
It's San Antonio, you have Greg Popovich, you have a bunch of young players. They're going to be back in the playoffs in the next 3 years. Memphis, Ja Morant. Sacramento,
Fox.
Yeah. They have De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton. Mm-hmm. They're kind of built for the future. OKC, a million draft picks. Minnesota has D'Lo, Karl Anthony Towns, and Anthony Edwards. Rockets, I don't see anything good going on with the Rockets right now, but they have a bunch of draft picks. But I mean, like, you look at the Eastern Conference, all these teams think they're playoff teams, I feel like. Like, Orlando and Detroit finally embraced the tank. They don't have good young pieces, you know? There's not, Orlando, I guess, does have a little bit, but Detroit, not really. Cleveland, yeah, they have Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, and Jared Allen. But yeah. I mean, with that core three, you'd want them to be higher than the 13th seed in the Eastern Conference, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then Toronto and Chicago have what look like playoff rosters, and then they're the 11 and 12 seed. It's just sad to look at. I feel like every team in the East is underperforming.
Yeah. I mean, one team like that I genuinely do feel like is completely underperforming this season, that I actually had kind of like high expectations for going into the season, was the Celtics.
Oh my God. Which, they've been awful.
Yeah, they are the 6th seed, but they're 33-30.
They were supposed to be a top 4 seed.
Yeah.
Why are the Knicks better than the Celtics?
I mean, they're 33-30. If we go real quick to the Western Conference, they would be the 8th seed.
Yeah.
So
I was getting into a heated Twitter discussion the other day about they lost to the Thunder. Jason Tatum did not play. But Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, a couple others. I didn't watch the game. But when you look at it, like, the Thunder had no Shea playing and 25 turnovers. The Celtics should not be losing to a bottom five team in the league just because Jason Tatum's out. They should not rely on Jason Tatum to beat the Thunder of all teams. The Thunder without their star. It was completely pathetic to look at, to mm-hmm. see that the Celtics, who before the season everybody was like, they could be a contender this year, and that now, like, I'm not even sure if they're going to not get swept.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like I've actually been looking a lot at, you know, trying to figure out why the Celtics have been playing so bad this year, because I've been, like, very interested to see what has been the big problem in Boston, because, like I said, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker. I mean, you know, like, on paper, that sounds like a pretty good team. A pretty good team. Brad Stevens is the head coach. Sounds like a pretty good team. But one thing I will say is that, one, I feel like Jason Tatum has been somewhat inconsistent this year. I will say Jaylen Brown's been doing great this year. Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown. Amazing.
He made the All-Star game, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jason Tatum and...
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown both made it. Jaylen Brown's playing absolutely amazing. But one thing I want to say is, if you look at the team really outside of Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart. If you look up outside of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, we'll put Marcus Smart in there, okay? I mean, Marcus Smart just came back. But, and he actually got suspended for a game, I believe, so. Yeah. But Marcus Smart did just come back.
Yeah, like.
Now, if you look.
Kimball Walker?
If you look at, for example, you have Grant Williams, okay?
Yeah.
Grant Williams averages around 18 minutes a game. So it's solid minutes. Those are big time, you know, big time minutes for a big man. He scores 4 points a game, two boards,
yeah,
and an assist. Not a great defender,
yeah,
at all. And he's getting around 18 minutes a game. So I feel like
Robert Williams averages 8.7 rebounds and actually is a great defender, but still, I mean. You want somebody that's at least giving you a double-double a game.
They need a big man.
If I'm not getting a double-double out of my starting center, then I don't know.
Like, Brad Stevens this year hasn't done too great of a job coaching.
You know who I think actually would have been a good pickup for that team?
Who?
Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard?
I think Dwight Howard has averaged a double-double every single season of his career, except for last year because he was coming off the bench for the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And, this year for the 76ers, he's coming off the bench, playing good, solid minutes. I think that if he was starting for the Celtics, that he could be a big, impactful player. Because he's still there defensively and offensively.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even if he's averaging 8 points and 10 rebounds, that's still good numbers for your center. And he's a good defender. And I think that he adds a lot more energy.
Yeah. I mean, I
but yeah, it is it, and that's what everybody's been saying. And they could have had Miles Turner. They could have had Miles Turner, who's now unfortunately out with an ankle injury, will not be returning this season. But they could have had somebody. Miles Turner, I would consider to be like a top 8 center in the league. Defensively, he's top 2.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like looking like once again, you use Grant Williams as a prime example right here. We're gonna go back to April 11th to April 28th, okay? Just yesterday. Now, I'm gonna go over what Grant Williams has done, what he's contributed to the team, all the way back from April 11th. April 11th, and most of these are around 20 minutes a game, okay?
Yeah.
2 points, 1 for 3, 2 boards, an assist. 3 points, 2 boards, 1 assist. 4 points, 5 boards, no assists. 4 points, 2 boards, 1 assist. 5 points, 2 boards. 5 points, 2 boards. 3 points and 3 boards. 9 points and 3 boards. And 2 points and an assist. About almost 20 minutes a game. 6'7" power forward.
How many 10-point games were there?
10-point?
Yeah.
None.
Zero.
His highest was maybe 5, I think is what I said.
Yeah. Last 3 weeks of basketball.
No, it was 9. 9 was his highest. His second highest was 5.
3 weeks of basketball, the guy has not scored 10 points yet.
He's not grabbed more than 5 rebounds either.
Which, like, he's a bench player.
Well, he was starting.
Most bench players don't get 20 minutes.
He was starting. Yeah,
I think he did start over Jason Tatum because Jason Tatum's missed a couple games.
I'm pretty sure he just got shifted to the bench, actually.
Yeah.
So.
Williams, I think on most teams, isn't the starting center. Neither is Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, especially for the big. I feel like if the bigs had a decent, or if the Celtics had a decent big, they would definitely be top 4 seed, but I would have them over, maybe the Sixers would still have a better record, but I think if the Celtics had a nice center, I would take them over the Sixers.
Yeah,
that's what I was expecting at the beginning of the year, right? And especially with we know how the Sixers tend to perform in the playoffs.
Here's another thing for me is, like, they got a lot of draft picks and they had a lot of draft capital and were drafting a lot of really young players like Robert Williams, Grant Williams. Yeah, that threw me off for a second. No, do they have the same last name? They do. They have Peyton Pritchard, and then most importantly, they have Carson Edwards, they have Romeo Langford, they have Taco Fall. None of these guys get minutes, except for the first two I named.
Me like, personally, I think I'm putting Taco Fall in there over Robert Williams.
They're not Robert Williams, Grant Williams. Taco Fall is really bad at basketball, but I mean, at least he's there, you know? Your tallest dude is 6'10" that isn't Taco Fall. Put him in there. Get a, like, especially get him some playing time now, because I'll tell you, I'm not taking Grant Williams guarding Joel in the playoffs or guarding Giannis. I'm certainly not. That's what we have Robert Williams for. But then if we match up against the Nets, Robert Williams can't guard all eight players on the court. Five, but you get what I mean.
Yeah.
It's just, it's bad. It's bad, and I hate looking at the Celtics. And I still, every time I look at Jason Tatum, I say, that's not how he's supposed to be moving. He looks like a robot. Jaylen Brown, one of the smoothest games in basketball. Jaylen Brown, every time I look at him, it makes up for every time I have to look at Jason Tatum. But, yeah, I mean, it just, they look tired every time. And Jaylen Brown even commented on that. He was like, I don't know why we just come out there unmotivated. Jaylen, then get motivated. What do you mean? You're the one on the court, not me. Don't tell me that. Tell yourself that.
We go to, like, for example, Kemba Walker. He's an average of 18 this game. He's shooting a little bit better than he was. Not too much better because he's still shooting 40%. We'll round up his 40.9, so 41%. But, yeah.
Kemba Walker also, again, just like I said with Jaylen Brown, one of the smoothest games in basketball. I love watching Kemba Walker play. And he's averaging 18 points per game this season now. He's moved up a lot. At the beginning of the season, he was averaging like 12 or 13, which we were like, oh God, that's gross every time that we looked at it. He's picked it up, and I know his shooting hasn't been great, but also he's a smaller guard, and you just kind of let that happen sometimes.
Not to mention, like I said, during that trade deadline, a lot of them trades were happening. The Celtics did make a move for Evan Fournier, another guard.
Hey, you didn't need one of those.
And now Evan Fournier over his 8 games played with the Celtics is on 28 minutes a game, 7 points on 30% shooting from the field.
Yeah, he was averaging 20 in Orlando. And here's the thing, is that as important as it is to have good guard play, your guards cannot be successful without your bigs playing. Your bigs cannot be successful without your guards playing well. Because basketball, believe it or not, Gavin, is a team sport.
Yeah.
And when you have your 4 and your 5 just empty most of the time, or if Jason Tatum's in the lineup, they have a potential starting 5 of, which I think that Jason Tatum's more of a natural small forward than a power forward. But they keep putting him in power forward minutes, which, I mean, I guess it's worked so far, I guess. Brad Stevens knows a lot more about coaching than I do. But they'll run Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and then somebody whose name I don't even know, because that's how often their center position has just been a rotating door of either old veterans or second round picks for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
It's been messy. I think they should have kept Al Horford. I think that he would actually mesh well with this team. But it just, I don't understand why the center position is so important to their team's success and what they've been lacking because of it. Even when I watch the games, it still looks as if it's not that impactful, because it's not like they need like a big defensive stopper that's going to be stopping like the big playmakers or anything. They just need somebody solid to be a presence in the rim and then also to set screens, because again, that's one thing. Jason Tatum has the ball in his hands so much. Who's setting screens? Because you need a power forward and a center to set screens for everybody. If you're, especially in a modern offense with lots of screens getting set, I know that Marcus Smart isn't setting convincing screens. He's like my height. Like, neither is Kemba Walker. So you have, when Jason Tatum calls for a screen, you have either Jaylen Brown, who's like 6'5", and not the most muscular guy in the world, I'm sure we can agree, or we have 6'10" Robert Williams, Time Lord, coming to set a screen. Either way, everybody's just powering straight through that, you know? That's not a convincing screen. They need, and that's, again, Taco Fall, I feel like maybe he shouldn't be a starter yet, but at least put him on the court. He's huge.
Yeah.
You know why Sean Bradley was in the league? He's huge. Manute Bol, he's huge. We let huge players play basketball, not only because they're super big and fun to watch, but they're generally pretty good at it without having to try too hard.
Yeah, that's true.
Most super, like, go to the YMCA. The best dude on the court's going to be the one that's 6'8". Every time, even he can have no basketball skills, you're still dumping the ball down to him. All he has to do is just flick his wrist and the ball's in.
Yeah.
He can tap it off the glass. He can just dunk it. It takes no skill to be, if you're, like, if you're Taco Fall's height, takes very little skill to be a professional basketball player. He could, every day of his entire life, wake up and go, I hate basketball so much, and he'd make it to the NBA. And be a he's a millionaire for it, I bet. I don't know. Maybe he's on, like, a super low rookie contract, but it just...
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Sometimes I look and I say, is Brad Stevens really a good coach? Because he has a lineup of a defensive player of the year, one of the best defenders in the league, two all-stars, one former all-star, a point guard that still is pretty dang good, and a solid bench, and still just year after year. And they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but it always is in, like, the least convincing fashion. It's always in a way that I'm just like, yeah, I knew they were going to lose. Like, they lost to the Heat with Jimmy Butler, and they didn't just lose to the Heat. They, like, there were a couple blowouts to the Heat that they, like, lost badly. And the Celtics also did it to the... It was a very lopsided series as far as who was winning each game. It was, like, 30 point. And it went to, what, 6? I'm pretty sure it was a 6-game series. Like, I don't know. It just... I would have liked a more convincing, presentation by them. I feel like you should not be getting your team dismantled by Jimmy Butler if you're really, like, a contender. Because Jimmy Butler, he's that dude, but he's not that dude, you know? And does that make sense? He's not a superstar. He's not LeBron. He should not be demolishing you like he did. I don't know. The Celtics have just been a wreck. I just went on, like, an 8-minute tangent about the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, like, one thing I do think they could have done is kept Daniel Theis instead of trading him to the Bulls. They had Daniel Theis, who's not a, 10-board player, but he's a 10.5-board player, which is better than Grant Williams.
Yeah, I mean, at least he was there. He was their only 7-footer, I'm pretty sure. Hmm. And they just tossed him away. Just said, you know what? Nah. Every single time that I looked at Daniel Theis's name for, like, 6 months, I was like, who is this dude? I had to, like, convince myself that he was even real. Because I was just like, there's no way that you just are a starting center in the NBA and I don't know your name. But I didn't. I hadn't heard a single thing about him. Didn't know where he played college, what position he got drafted, what team he even got drafted to, how old he was. And the dude was starting for a playoff team. He's just some dude. They just walked around Boston until they found a dude that was tall. I'm like, want to play center? He was like, yeah, sure. Now he's on the Bulls. They made him move. But it's rough. It's rough. I feel bad for Celtics fans. I'm not even a Celtic fan. I would probably be considered a Celtics hater. And it's still just rough to watch. Because Jaylen Brown deserves better. Kemba Walker deserves better. Marcus Smart's one of my favorite players in the league. I love when somebody runs into him and then he falls on the ground. It's so funny.
I like the Celtics. I wish the Celtics were doing better. I like Jason Tatum. I like Jaylen Brown. I like Marcus Smart. But
Marcus Smart is so fun. Did he win Shaq an MVP one time?
He might have.
I'm pretty sure he did because of that one flop where he, like, flew 6 feet.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm going to look up to see if he won
Shaq an MVP. I remember that. It was against, like, the Sixers. He just flew. Yeah. Now, real fast, another thing that I want to talk about is the Clippers, right?
Okay.
There's another team I kind of want to go on. The Clippers right now, I feel like are very under the radar. And I feel like they're very, like, under the radar right now just because they had that terrible, like, they played really bad in the bubble last year. And they made it to, only to the second round, and they choked a 3-1 lead. So they didn't even go up against the Lakers or anything. But this Clippers team, in my personal opinion, is a lot better than last year's Clippers team. I think that with the way Paul George is playing, he's playing a lot better than he did last year. I just saw some a few days ago that I said over like the last, I can't remember how many games it was, maybe like 8 games maybe, that he was averaging 33 points a game on 53% from the field and 51% from the three. On 33 points a game in 8 games. Which is pretty impressive. Kawhi, yeah, doing what Kawhi does. Having Serge Ibaka, great power forward, great player at the four. Serge Ibaka has always been a great player throughout his entire career. I feel like they're also, they may be the deepest team in the whole NBA right now. That's one thing I will say. I think that the Clippers, if you've looked at a lot of them, looked at those games where the Clippers didn't play, there's a game, like a couple games where they didn't play any of their starters. They kept out all 5 starters and they were still winning.
Yeah. It's either the Clippers or the Lakers.
Because, yeah, the Clippers just lost to the Suns. I don't think Kawhi played that game. I'll double check, but I don't think Kawhi played. Let me look at it really fast. Because the Suns won 109 to 101. And, yeah, Kawhi didn't play. So, if Paul George played, and Paul George dropped 25 and 10, they only lost by 8 points. But another player, like Marcus Morris, right? Those games where, like, none of those starters played, I'm pretty sure Marcus Morris dropped, like, 26 points. Like, one game took like 22 points. That game against the Suns, he just dropped 16. He's been a very solid player, a very good shooter for this Clippers team. Reggie Jackson's been a very solid backup point guard. The signing of Nicholas Batum was a pretty good signing. He's another good shooter. Zubac, down there, good boards. You know, play defensively. Getting Rondo, I think getting Rondo was amazing. Because I think what the Clippers are doing when they got Rondo for Lou Will,
right,
at that trade deadline, is I think they were more preparing for the playoffs. This is my personal opinion on that. Is I think they were looking more ahead into the playoffs.
Hey, here's the thing. They knew they were making the playoffs.
Yeah.
They knew Lou Williams doesn't necessarily play the best in the playoffs. They knew that Rondo does play the best in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Playoff Rondo.
Yeah. They needed playmaking off their bench because they have a bench with some scorers on it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need another one, especially Lou Williams was not doing his job.
Yeah.
His job is to average 20 off the bench. He wasn't doing it. So they said, you know what? We'll bring in Rajon Rondo. He'll average 10 off the bench and 10 assists.
Mm-hmm.
Not 10 assists, but
close. Like
8.6 assists, close, something like that.
Close. But I think that trade, a lot of people were like, well, like Lou Will for Rajon Rondo, right? Like, especially at this point in Rondo's career. A lot of people are saying that because a lot of people know Lou Will as six-man Lou Will. You know what I mean? Like, he's coming off the bench. He's dropping 20 for you. That's what people know him for. Like
36.
Yeah, Lou Will, for one, has not been six-man Lou Will this year whatsoever. Yeah.
Lou Williams is old.
He has not been that regular sixth man he's been throughout his career this year. He wasn't even all that
last year. I feel like he was still in the running for sixth man of the year for whatever reason. But I felt like Montrezl Harrell deserved it. Who was the other option? It was Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, and then
There's another Clippers player.
No, those were the two Clippers players from.
Montrezl.
Montrezl isn't on the Clippers anymore.
Yeah, he's in the Lakers.
But then there was one other dude. But I felt like the third person should. I felt like Lou Williams was the least deserving. I feel like even last year he played solid, but not great. It wasn't a sixth man of the year season, and that's why he didn't win it. But Lou Williams, yeah, I mean, was not all that this season. Definitely not.
Yeah, I think with that trade of Rondo, they're just looking ahead, and they're realizing that at this point, Rondo is, once again, they don't really need any more scores. They have a ton of scoring on the team. They needed a ball handler who could dish out assists and play nice defense. And Rondo fits that role perfectly.
Yeah.
Especially without giving, especially since they, I'm sure they didn't want to give up too much because the team they have currently is getting the job done.
Yeah.
They have Reggie Jackson, but they didn't want to, you know, if you try and trade for a player like Alonzo, you're going to have to give up a lot more than you're going to have to give up to get it Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
We know that because especially with how young Alonzo was and how he's been getting better and better, especially shooting wise. He's also a great passer. Rondo is a good regular season player and a great playoff player. He's a great ball handler. He's always been known for his assists and his passing. He's a good defender.
We don't even know how Lonzo plays in the playoffs.
We don't, but Rondo's proven it time and time again that he's a great player in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then also, they don't want somebody that they're going to have to deal with long-term contract extensions of four. Mm-hmm. Like, Rondo has, like, what, probably two more years in the league? He might retire after this season if he wins a ring. But it's, yeah, I mean, I think they made the right move. I think that was smart. I think that maybe Lou Williams could have turned it around and contributed more off the bench. But then I also think that Rondo's been here before. Rondo's been on a team with a bunch of veterans and gone and won a chip.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he could even start for them if they needed him to over what Patrick Beverley's starting right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like they could swap them if needed in any particular series, if they needed a bunch of playmaking. Because let's be honest, Patrick Beverley, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, they're not dishing out the assists, you know?
Yeah.
But having Rondo up there, that might switch things around. But anyway, yeah, I definitely think that was a smart move by the Clippers and that added a lot.
Real quick, listen to this roster, okay? Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Rajon Rondo, DeMarcus Cousins, who got extended for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I was really happy to see that because I was running his stats and he's the only dude in the league that shoots like he does. That's as big as he does and shoots like he does.
Yeah. So Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Rajon Rondo, DeMarcus Cousins, Serge Ibaka, Luke Kennard, Marcus Morris, Nicholas Batum, Patrick Beverley, Terrence Mann, Reggie Jackson, Ivan Zubac. Like, that is deep.
That's a pretty good team.
That's a deep team.
Pretty dang good team.
That is a very, very good put together team. That is, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I really think they're going under the radar. Like, I really think, like, people know who the Clippers are. They know the Clippers are a good team. But I don't think they realize that bench and that, like, the reason Clippers win games is because once those starters come out, maybe they keep a few out there, maybe they keep one or two starters out there, but that bench comes in and they pair together so well. That bench unit does. And maybe they keep Kawhi or PG out there with them. And that's what they did against the Suns, and they only lost by 8 points. They kept PG out there.
Yeah.
Only lost by 8 points to the first seed. Now, if Kawhi was there, probably would have won.
Yeah. Hey, Kawhi Leonard also, I know that we forgot once again because of last year's disappearance in the playoffs. Kawhi Leonard is a really, really, really good basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Top five in the league easily. Probably top three. What? LeBron, KD, Steph, Kawhi. That's the top four.
Okay.
We could extend that maybe to Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic.
You could argue that. Because, Giannis is there.
Yeah, put Giannis in there as well. But Kawhi's the top five player in the league. Okay. No doubt in my mind. Paul George is top 20. Probably put him closer to top 15. It's a really good team. You have two top 15 players.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing the Lakers have. You have a really deep bench. Same thing that the Lakers have. I think the Lakers' defense might be a little bit better on the interior since Anthony Davis is there. But overall, yeah, I think that it's a team that I wouldn't want my team to play in the playoffs. And especially after last year's defeat, I think they're going to be coming out. I think expectations are lower for them. I don't think everybody's looking at the Clippers this year like they were last year.
I agree.
When they went up 3-1, everybody said, oh, Clippers won.
Mm-hmm. No, they didn't. Including us.
Yeah. We said, we were.
We came on the show and
that
said
that.
That
was like 4 months ago.
We came onto the show. The next day they went up 3-1 and started arguing, discussing Lakers versus Clippers. That's exactly what we did. And then they lost.
And then the next week we were like, guys, listen. We might have been wrong.
We came on the show the next day and started talking about how it was going to be Lakers versus Clippers and like the matchups for that game.
We had also talked about that like before the series even started because we were like, it's over. The Nuggets aren't beating the Clippers.
And then the whole beginning of the regular season, Lakers, Clippers, who's winning?
Yeah, expectations are lower. There's less pressure. There are more teams on top.
They're not in a bubble anymore for one. So
yeah, they're the underdogs this time.
They are.
And maybe not in actuality. Yeah. If you see Suns versus Clippers, I know who I'm taking. But they're, in essence, the underdog. Like, if there's a Game 7, it's an away game. And I like Kawhi the underdog a lot more than I like Kawhi the big dog.
Yeah. I think that... if we compare right now, we're going to do this again. Just like we did before. If we compare...
We're going to go Lakers-Clippers, and then neither team's going to make it in.
If we compare the Clippers and Lakers, okay? Side by side. Better interior defense, we'll give it to the Lakers, okay? Mainly because of Anthony Davis is down there. Very great interior defender. Amazing. Perimeter defense? I think I might have to give that to the Clippers. Kawhi, Paul George, Rondo, Pat Bev. Yeah. I mean, I don't really need to keep going on.
Yeah.
Better perimeter defense. Scoring wise?
Well, let me run this past you. Dennis Schroeder, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. Oh, boy, I cannot name a lot of KCP. I cannot name a lot of Lakers players off the top of my head. I went into this unprepared.
Alex Caruso.
That's their starting five. Do I need to say any more? I do. Let me pull up the Lakers roster.
They have, I can't remember his name.
Oh, Taylor Horton Tucker.
Yeah, Taylor Horton Tucker, yeah.
As the five seed, they have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Alex Caruso, Anthony Davis, Andre Drummond, forgot about him, Jared Dudley, Mark Gasol, Montrezl Harrell, Talen Horton-Tucker, LeBron James, Kyle Kuzma, Wesley Matthews, Alfonso McKinney, Markieff Morris, Dennis Schroeder, Ben McLemore. I only left three people off that list because they're bad. But everybody else, they get a mention. Yeah.
Now, if we...
Kostas Antetokounmpo is not getting any playing minutes in the playoffs. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you could run that, and then we compare that to Clippers.
Both teams are extremely deep.
Kawhi, Paul George, Rondo, DeMarcus Cousins, Serge Ibaka, Luke Kennard, Marcus Morris, Nicholas Batum, Pat Bev, Terrence Mann, Reggie Jackson, Ivan Zubac, Patrick Patterson, Yogi Ferrell, Amir Coffey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only reason that I think that this Clippers team is deeper is because I don't think Drummond. I don't know. I don't feel like Drummond.
Drummond's not a great player.
I don't think he's that good. I don't think Montrezl Harrell. I actually went up to the Lakers and told the Lakers before they signed him that you guys should sign him because if he stays on the Clippers, all he's going to do is hurt the Clippers.
Yeah.
And now I haven't.
He's good on the Lakers. I don't think that he's good on the Clippers. I think that the way that team runs.
So, I talked about it. Like, I went up and, talked to LeBron James personally. And I was like, hey.
Yeah, Jeanine Buss was there.
Yeah.
I talked to the whole family.
I went to him. I was like, hey, Montrezl Hill. I don't want him on my team.
Yeah.
I don't really want him on the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
He's not cool. Yeah. I don't want him. He brings chemistry problems. He doesn't like Paul George.
I think we're willing to take a risk on him.
Told him to sign him? What did they do? They signed him. I told him.
That was the conversation. Magic Johnson was there, too. He was just kind of hanging out. He wasn't part of the deal or anything.
He was just kind of listening. He was in the back. I saw him. Though.
Yeah, he was just kind of chilling.
I saw him.
It was a real Magic Johnson type of thing to do.
Like, he's averaging 14 a game.
Yeah. Not exceptional, not bad either.
He's just there. I mean, his 14 a game's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, considering that Magic Johnson's like 60, I think that 14 a game's pretty good.
But the only problem...
We're talking about Montrezl Harrell, not Magic Johnson. That was the joke.
The only problem with Montrezl Harrell is, I'm going to be honest, Montrezl Harrell's defense is not good. And that's the main reason why we didn't want him on the Clippers. I'm taking Serge Ibaka over Montrezl Harrell.
You see a dude his size, you'd hope that he's good at defense. But then you watch him play defense.
Is not.
And you say, I went a small. I'd put LeBron in that spot.
I'm like, his defense is very bad. Very bad. Like, I don't know if you watched those Clippers games last year in the bubble. His defense was pretty bad.
Nikola Jokic versus.
Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic. Yeah. I mixed up Vucevic and Jokic's names. But Jokic versus Montrez is a pretty lopsided matchup, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think Jokic versus anybody is a lopsided matchup, but specifically against Montrezl Harrell, who already has defensive deficiencies, it was rough.
If we, like, go in and we look at Serge Ibaka, right? Because I'm assuming it'll be Serge Ibaka will probably be on Montrezl Harrell. We look at Serge Ibaka, who is hurt. So he probably hasn't played. He hasn't played in a little while. But before injury, he's putting up 11 a game, 7 boards and 2 assists. He hasn't played in quite a while, but I'm assuming with those games played, he's probably averaging around 12. I'll say 12, right? Well, 12 or 13, he's averaging 11. Put another point or two up, why not? I think he's also a better defender than Montrezl Harrell, which is why I'm taking Serge Ibaka in that.
Yeah.
For that better defense, which is one thing the Clippers really needed was more interior defense because you had Montrezl Harrell and Ivan Zubac down there for interior defense, and it wasn't working. It wasn't working. Especially when Zubac a lot of times would have to come out and play that perimeter defense on more mobile big men, right? It wasn't working. Wasn't working at all. And now they kind of, make some moves, switch their team around, and now it looks a lot better. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's that for the Clippers. But I'm hoping... The Clippers play the Lakers this time.
I ask you this every, like, 5 or 6 shows, but who's going to the finals?
Who's going to the finals?
Yeah.
Well, we made our predictions, and I had the Clippers going. I still am going with the Clippers going to the finals. And then on the Eastern side, I have the Nets still. So I think it's going to be Clippers-Nets. My predictions.
Clippers-Nets? Mm-hmm. Still. It feels weird to say this every time that I look in the East, but every time I still see the Bucks going out. I can't see.
I mean, because, like, I don't know. I think that the Bucks can get out of the playoffs before they play the Nets.
I think that...
Well, wait. It depends what seed the Bucks are.
The Bucks are the 3 seed. So, I think that they... have a good shot at meeting the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think that the Nets are going to go through a lot worse things than the Bucks are going to go through.
I don't know,
whatever teams are going against the Nets are going to be playing rough and dirty. I can't imagine it being a fun series for the Nets.
I think one thing about the Nets is they've only have played a few games this entire season where Kyrie, KD, and Harden have all played together.
Like less than 10.
Yeah, they've played very few games where all 3 of their big signings, all 3 of their big players have played together at the same time.
Yeah, they keep getting injured. I wouldn't be surprised if one of them doesn't even play the playoffs with how bad they've been injury-wise.
Yeah, which that could be one thing that could really, cause them to make the finals. And I do think that aside from the Nets, the Bucks could make the finals, especially with having Drew Holiday now, adding more defense and another person that the Bucks are not the Bucks, another person that the other team is actually going to have to guard that's not Giannis is, like, pretty important.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Again, same thing with the Clippers. I think the expectations are lower. You're not getting... Giannis isn't going to be the MVP this year. Definitely. And they're going to be playing Boston in the first round. So, like, that's a sweep. Yeah. Sorry, Boston fan, but it's true and you know it. But it's just... It's not... I don't see any other team making it out, and I don't know why. Just every time that I imagine the finals this season, I'm seeing Giannis run down the court.
So, if it's... Who do you have going to the finals in the West?
In the West? Probably the Lakers.
Lakers?
I can't... It's the Lakers. Come on. Okay. It's LeBron James.
So, you have Lakers and Bucks then.
Yeah.
Who do you have winning?
Lakers.
Lakers.
I'm taking LeBron. I'm taking LeBron over everybody all the time. Also, two more rings. Two more rings until people will shut up.
Two more? Is he going to get those two more rings?
Yep.
Women's going to... One of them's gonna, now, imagine if... I know this is very hard to imagine. Not just for you, but for me too. For really anyone that watches basketball. Pretty hard to imagine this. But just try your best. And just imagine the Lakers losing in the second round of the playoffs. Imagine.
Can you imagine the Lakers getting swept in the first round?
Imagine, like, do you remember last year when the Blazers won that first game against the Lakers and how crazy everyone was going?
Yeah.
Like everyone was losing their minds. They thought Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers were about to eliminate the Lakers in like five.
It's Denver versus the Lakers in round one. Can you imagine Denver comes out to a 3-0 lead? Can you imagine Denver makes a 3-1 comeback against LeBron?
I promise you the internet would be broken.
We would never hear the end of it. We would I would be a 75-year-old man talking about, oh yeah, I remember I went and saw LeBron play live. LeBron, he choked a 3-1 lead.
I'm telling you right now, if the Lakers do not make the finals this year, or really any year, you'll never hear the end of it.
If they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and put up a good fight against somebody, if it goes to 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals, I think people will say, okay, sure. But that was a bad voice crack. But anything less than that, I'm going to edit that out in the podcast, too. I'm making sure of it. but anything less than that, I think, is that not going to cut it.
I'm just saying, like, can you imagine, like, Paul George, LeBron James, Western Conference Finals. LeBron, 8 points a game. 21%, I'm just kidding. That can't happen. But I do think that if the Lakers were to get out the playoffs, it's game 7 in the Western Conference Finals. Playoff LeBron. Everyone else playoff LeBron. AD. We're kind of seeing, right now, currently, we're kind of seeing that kind of like AD on the Pelicans type thing on the Lakers right now.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I think the Clippers can beat him. Is because when LeBron's not on that court, we say that the Lakers are super deep, but obviously they might be a deep team on paper, but something doesn't click.
Yeah. I think the thing that doesn't click is that they don't have a lot of playmaking. And yeah. I think that it's LeBron James that provides a lot of that.
Yeah. Which, and obviously we've seen the Clippers bench and how deep they are, clicks perfectly when they come on the court.
Oh, sure.
Even without one of the starters. Sure. Uh-huh. You see it. They won, like, what, 4 of those games where they didn't play 5 starters? One of them was a blowout, too. I can't remember the 5 teams they beat. I wish I remembered. But they weren't, like, it's not like they were bona fide scrub teams. No, obviously they weren't playing everyone. I think one of them was, I can't remember. It was the Bulls, maybe. But the Bulls are playing all their starters. So it was like Zach LaVine, Vucevic, all of them against right. Marcus Morris.
Yeah, it's going to be like if LeBron doesn't play, then it's over. Anthony Davis is not. It's not a... This sounds weird to say. I don't think Anthony Davis is a number one option. I don't think that he's that type of dude.
Mm. That does sound really weird to say because he's always been a number one option almost, except for when he's playing with LeBron.
But I mean, like, he had a good team in New Orleans. People forget, like, he had Derek Favors, Julius Randle, and Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
He had, like, a solid lineup in New Orleans with, like, decent bench depth. And they just never went anywhere. I don't think I think that Anthony Davis is a Scottie Pippen type. And, I mean, Scottie Pippen said it. He was like, I don't have the clutch gene. You know? I think that might be the same thing with Anthony Davis. I don't think that he's that guy. You know?
Yeah.
As much as... Well, I still think he is. Because we've seen him show up. But I also... He's never done any of that. He's, what, like 26 now? Oh. Okay. He's like 26 now? He's a little too old for us to be making excuses about him now.
Yeah.
Because before, his team, blah, blah, blah. They're 1-4 in the 5 games that he's played since he came back. What's up with that? That's bad. That's really bad.
Let's see what AD has been averaging over those last 4 games. Like what he's been producing.
We're all just punching all sorts of things, huh? Just shaking the whole desk.
Let's look up Anthony Davis and what he has been doing for the Lakers since he's returned in these last few games. I mean, 26 points, 5 boards, 18 points, 8 boards, 17 points, 3 boards. So 26, 18, 17. He shot 10 for 20, 8 for 15, and 5 for 19. One thing about AD is I feel like I can never see Anthony Davis ever get a double-double. Something doesn't make sense. Do you remember last year in the bubble when he had all those games where he had like 3 boards, 4 boards?
He either plays good defense or good offense. That's something that I've noticed. I said it a couple times. He plays good defense or good offense.
Yeah, I'm like, they just lost to the Wizards. Where AD had 26 points. He's played 31 minutes in 2 of those games, 28 in the other one. So he's playing a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
He'll be playing more in the regular season, obviously, but he's playing still a lot of minutes. I mean, yeah. Like he's on the season, he's averaging 21-8. Not bad.
You said 21-8?
Yeah.
That's really low points per game.
It is low. I was going to say it's really low, but I also have to take in the fact that he's been hurt for a lot of the season. So that's why I'm saying it's not terrible, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he has been hurt. But obviously, I would want AD to be putting up like 27, I feel like, around that area. I mean, last year, his entire career, he's averaged 24. He's down in every single stat except for points within his career.
Yeah, that's not great. I mean, especially from somebody as young as him that doesn't face too many injuries. He's been playing a good amount of the season without LeBron, it seems like, and that's when his numbers are the worst.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like I said, it's Pelicans flashbacks is what I'm getting.
Also, who cares? You know? Yeah. They're the 8 seed. They're still making it out of the first round.
Yeah.
You have LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Yeah. I mean, once LeBron comes back and brings that playmaking to the court,
yeah,
AD's going to start playing better, just like everyone else is.
That's the thing about Anthony Davis. He does have those guard skills. Like, he can dribble and stuff. He still needs setup sometimes. He's not getting 30 points per game off of... He's not Dame, you know?
Definitely. AD needs to be set up.
He can create his own shot, you know? He can do that a couple times a game really good. He's not doing that like Dame or Steph, you know? You're going to have him setting screens. He's going to be catching lobs. He's still a 7-footer. He's not one of those guards, even though he may dribble like it.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Kuzma, he's also down in every single statistical category. He's down in points, down in, up in boards, but yeah. Down in field goal percentage. Kuzma is averaging 12 points a game right now on 43% shooting, 6 boards.
Yeah. I did want to real quick give a shout out to the Phoenix Suns. Just clinched a playoff berth for the first time in Phoenix in 11 seasons. They had DeAndre Ayton's been playing great. Devin Booker. Mikal Bridges has been one of the best defenders in the league. Javon Carter's been playing great. Torrey Craig, Jay Crowder, Langston Galloway, Cam Johnson, Frank Kaminsky, and Dario Saric has been playing as well. And then, most importantly, the MVP, in my opinion, Chris Paul, who, I mean, took that Thunder team to the playoffs last year. He's taken this team to the 2 seed this year. I think that I am realizing now more than ever that Chris Paul might be one of the best players I've ever seen play.
One of the best players you've ever seen?
Period. Yeah. That his defense and his playmaking have gone underappreciated by me for too long. He's up there with Dwayne Wade.
Up there with Dwayne Wade?
Yeah.
I think Chris Paul is
players
top
I've seen,
point guard all time.
Players I've seen play, he's top five.
All time?
That I've seen play.
Oh, that you've seen play.
Yeah.
What are your top five all-time players that you've seen play?
That I've seen play?
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. I watch him every time it's available. LeBron James, the GOAT. Then Dwayne Wade, just in my opinion. The dude's a different level. Steph Curry, we're watching his greatness every single night. Kevin Durant, because come on. And then Chris Paul.
So was that in order?
No.
Or no particular order?
Not in order. I mean, LeBron's number one. Everybody else kind of fills in after that.
Okay.
But just based on pure basketball skill and what they add to the team, that's the top five of players that from my era that I've watched play basketball games.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Paul.
And one of them's never been to the finals. Haha, Chris Paul. He'll never be Dwayne Wade.
Chris Paul, yeah.
I feel like I don't shout out Dwayne Wade enough. He's my favorite player of all time.
I almost thought it was Gary Payton.
No, I really like Gary Payton. I have his jersey hanging up on my wall, but Dwayne Wade's my favorite player of all time. There's too many moments throughout me watching basketball where Dwayne Wade's been the dude I'm watching for me to not say that Dwayne Wade's my favorite player. And I have always rooted. He's so good at basketball. He's 6'5". The Band-Aid under his eye. That was classic. I did that in like the ninth grade because I thought I was not ninth grade. And like when I was like 9 years old, I thought I was so cool.
Had the Band-Aid under his eye outside playing basketball.
Yeah. Had the Band-Aid under my eye. It was Dwayne Wade has always been that dude.
Yeah.
And also, he's just super cool and tells good jokes and drinks wine and smokes cigars on Instagram Live all the time like a 50-year-old man, like he's Scarface.
I think, yeah, D-Wade, not one of my favorite players of all time, but I do like D-Wade.
I mean, even if you don't like him,
he's great.
Got 3 rings.
He's yeah, D-Wade's a top shooting guard all time.
Yeah, I mean, who's better than him at the shooting guard position? Kobe.
Paul George.
Kobe, he hasn't played Paul George, or he hasn't played shooting guard professionally.
You're lucky.
Kobe, Jordan, James Harden. I think those are the only three that are in his realm, shooting guard wise. Mm.
Kobe, Jordan, Harden. Yeah. I agree.
Harden's an all time player. That's weird to say as well. But
you think AI is?
Oh, yeah. AI's up there.
Yeah.
I think that would be the top five, probably. Which, that's just off the top of my head. If I saw numbers and I had like a full list of every shooting guard, there might be another person that I'm forgetting right now. But also Russell Westbrook, I think, is top five point guard of all time. Which point guard is a deeper position because you also have like Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Magic Johnson, Steph Curry.
Do you put him at fifth or you put him...
I think Russ barely sneaks in there. But, I mean, he's still great, you know? Being top five point guard out of the millions of people that have played point guard in their lives, that he is one of the top five. But, yeah, I mean, that's just me. This is WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis, and that's my opinion.
Mm.
So, yeah, I snuck that in there.
Yeah.
Nobody even noticed.
Yeah. I can agree. I mean, me personally, I don't know if Russ is a top 5 point guard all time. He might, if not, he's 6th, 7th in there somewhere. You know.
Yeah, but
right behind it.
Just when in 20 years we're looking back at the best point guards ever, I want people to be mentioning Russell Westbrook still. Because he is good at basketball.
Been putting up triple doubles since what, 2017 is what it said?
Over the last 5 seasons, he has averaged a triple double.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That is in 20 points, 10 points, 10 rebounds. Exactly. What? That is insane.
Yeah.
That's incredible. He's just different. He's different.
Yeah.
His fashion choice, questionable. His basketball skills, he's
ridiculous.
Besides Curry, he's the best point guard I've ever seen. Oh, I was just saying Chris Paul. So, I guess 3rd. Besides Curry and Chris Paul, he's the best point guard I've ever seen play. Well, LeBron had that season at point guard.
No, but if Paul George didn't officially play shooting guard, even though Paul George played more shooting guard than he has small forward.
True. I mean, I have Paul George as my number one small forward ever.
I do too.
Yeah. And power forward.
I don't think he's ever played power forward. I'm pretty sure they tried to make him play power forward and he said no. But he's
shooting guard.
He can still be the greatest power forward of all time. It doesn't really matter.
I mean, he's the best point guard of all time.
If he played in the All-Star game at power forward at one point, then he counts.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, because he probably did great. No, he did do great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did amazing. There was no if.
Remember when Magic Johnson as a rookie, well, you don't remember it, but Magic Johnson as a rookie came in and played center in the finals and won?
That's ridiculous to think about. Like,
what? What? He's the point guard. He just filled in at center and won a championship. Or, well, he did it, I think, for like the first 3 games out of 6 or whatever. I'm not exactly sure, but he just did that. They were like, hey, Magic, want to play center? Because we need you to. And he was just like, yeah, sure. And did it. What?
Why not?
What? He was not like 19 or 20. What? How'd he do that? Who let him do that?
I don't know. You have Magic Johnson over Russ?
All time? Definitely, yeah. Russell Westbrook, great player. Magic Johnson's like a top 5 player, period, of all time. Magic Johnson's really good at basketball.
Yeah, I agree.
I have Richard Jefferson, top 15. Well, you guys should have seen Gavin's face right there. He looked disgusted with me. Richard Jefferson averaged 22 in his prime.
Top 15 what?
Top 15 of all time. Really? You don't agree?
Richard Jefferson, top 15 players all time?
Yeah. Richard Jefferson averaged 22 and 15 in his prime. Is he even no response?
I don't think my Richard Jefferson is in my top 15 all time. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that in my entire life.
Okay, maybe he's top 20, but...
Yeah, I'm just... I did not expect to hear that.
Richard Jefferson's real good.
I've never heard someone praise Richard Jefferson before.
Really?
I've never in my...
His days were insane.
I've never in my entire life have ever, in any discussion of basketball, have ever heard someone talk great about Richard Jefferson.
Okay. But, I mean, he was really good. He had, like, his last 6 years, he was a role player. He was just following people around. He played with Tim Duncan for a little bit. But Richard Jefferson's good.
Yeah, I mean, but I won't go based off his career stats because...
Yeah,
because,
I mean,
he was a role player.
4 points, yeah. 4 points a season in this, but I think that prime Richard Jefferson's as good as anybody.
Let's see.
Go ahead and run the stats.
Let's look at this. I'm gonna go all the way through this. His best career ever was 22-7.
I'm getting texts from my dad. Josh is knocking on the window. Everybody's telling me to stop. Richard Jefferson.
You said 22-15.
Okay, yeah, I was a little off on that.
22-7.
Okay, what's the shooting numbers looking like, though? What are the shooting splits?
And let's see. In 2007, it was 46%.
Yeah, that's good.
Is that top 15 all time?
Yeah.
We should come out with our top 15 all-time player list.
Hey, and in his prime, he was hitting threes. 44% from three in 2011 with the Spurs.
Huh. We should make our top 15 all-time players list for next time.
Bring the next week.
I'll do that because I'm really interested to see your top 15 players of all time are right now.
Okay. Yeah, his top in his career was 7 rebounds. He averaged over a steal and a half, just about a block. Never averaged more than 4 turnovers. That was a big seat. He averaged 4 turnovers just out of nowhere. Every other season, it's been 2 or less. Richard Jefferson's really good. And you'll see when I bring the list.
Yeah, I hope you do bring your list.
He's going to be top 3.
Richard Jefferson better be top
15 in no order.
If he's doing top 15, he might as well be just 15.
He might be number 1. Who knows?
Because I can't believe I just heard that.
Okay. Hey, bring the list.
I've never heard that before. What?
He's just under Shaq, just over Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd's also in your top 15 players all time?
That might not be true. He's under Shaq for sure. Richard Jefferson's under Shaq.
Like right below Shaq?
Maybe a little lower. I have him over John Stockton.
So where do you put Shaq at then? If he's...
Oh, some people don't put Shaq top 10. I'm not sure if I can...
What?
I'm not sure if I can do that, but there are a lot of people I've seen that don't put Shaq top 10.
I can't wait to see this list. I can't wait to see this because I don't know.
This is who we think are the best basketball players, right?
Of all time, top 15.
Accolades out the window. This does not matter.
No. You can do accolades out the window.
This is not based off of rings or anything.
No.
Who is the best at basketball?
Yeah.
So like I can Chris put Paul Allen has Iverson. No rings. Put Vince Carter.
Anyone. Okay. You can put Chris Paul in your top 5.
All right. And then we'll vote.
Because he's just...
We'll have a vote on Twitter.
Skilled basketball players.
Okay.
Best but then basketball players. I guess if we do that, Shaq wouldn't be top 10, would he?
Yeah, because he sucks.
He's just huge.
No, it's best. Not
just best? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Not based on skill, because then Kyrie Irving would be like top 5. And I don't think that's true as far as best players.
So just the best players who have ever played basketball.
Okay.
In the NBA. Yeah. That means Will Chamberlain better be one.
Yeah. Well, he'll be in the list.
He has to be one. I'm just kidding.
He'll be on the list.
He'll be on the list, probably. Not for me, of course.
No, right under Richard Jefferson.
I can't believe it. Listen. Oh,
what's that? Is that the outro music?
That's all I have. That's all I have to say. I can't believe I just heard that.
Is that the outro music?
I can't believe I just heard that. We'll see you guys next Thursday to talk about with our top 15 all-time player list. But yeah, if you guys want to listen to this, it will be on Audio Boom at WBDG NDC. You guys can tune in. Or if you guys have missed any of our previous episodes, you guys can go ahead and listen to that.
Make sure to check the Twitter.
Yeah, check our Twitter.
At Pick and Slip Show, so you know when we're broadcasting, you know what we're thinking about, any of the latest news. Also, Richard Jefferson was just having Twitter beef with Skip Bayless, so I think that was funny.
But that's all I have to say. I'm pretty sure it's all Brayden has to say. We'll be back with our top 15 players all the time next week. Thank you guys so much for listening, and peace.